Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 20.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. Last week's episode seemed to have caused a good impression on my listeners. I mean, I understand it. Preparing for the Cambridge exams is no mean feat, and finding good, reliable material is also a feat of its own. Believe it or not, I've been thinking of writing a practice book for the C1 and C2 exams, and so far, I've designed quite a few tasks that I've used in my classes and that I've shared online on different Facebook groups. The one from last week and the cross-text multiple matching task I based on different reviews of Darren Aronofsky's film The Whale are just but two examples of what I do whenever I have the chance. And today it's no different. I'm bringing a listening part 4 that would work very well for a C1 student, but that a C2 student might enjoy as well. You never know, even a student at such an advanced level might find the task I'm bringing today a bit challenging. So I'm afraid to say, today's episode will be another exam task that you'll have to download. Don't worry, all the materials will be available for download, except the audio, which you'll hear as part of this episode. Don't worry about that either. I've created the audio respecting the exam times to read ahead and all that jazz. Another thing I wanted to tell you is that this episode wouldn't have been possible without the help of all the new AI tools available nowadays. I've used ChatGPT to help me devise the monologues for the 5 speakers. Remember, it's part 4 of the listening paper. I've also used 11 Labs to synthesize the 5 voices I used, which I must say, they sound scary realistic. And for the montage, I've used Descript, the same piece of software I used to create all my episodes. Amazing, isn't it? In the following segments, first I'll guide you through what part 4 of the listening entails, how you can prepare for it, what skills are necessary. Then you'll hear the listening task, and I'll follow it up with my discussion of the answers and end with my takeaways. So let the practice begin. Part 4 consists of a series of 5 short monologues on a theme. The text is 3 to 4 minutes in length, with each monologue lasting approximately 30 seconds. The monologues represent spontaneous speech delivered in an informal spoken style by speakers with a range of backgrounds and voices. There are 2 parallel multiple matching tasks, each with a different focus. In each case, the correct option has to be chosen from a list of 8. The series of monologues is heard twice, but candidates may approach the tasks in either order. Each task focuses on a different aspect of gist understanding, for example, interpreting context, identifying main points, attitudes, feelings, and opinions, or speaker purpose, which is precisely what I'd like to cover in this segment. Now, how do you prepare for this task? Many of my students complain that this is the most difficult task in the listening, and for good reason. The level of concentration is quite demanding. You need to remember that you will hear 5 different speakers, but that the text will have a thematic link. In this part of the test, the whole series of texts is heard once, and then the whole series is repeated, meaning that you'll hear speakers 1 to 5 and repeat the same for another round. Also, think about the theme of the texts, and think about the kinds of attitudes and ideas that you might expect to hear in connection with the topic in question. Think of examples, situations, or possible distractors that you might encounter. Keep in mind that you will be listening for gist meaning rather than detail in these texts, so although you may not understand every word, you should be able to pick out the speaker's main point, feeling, attitude, or opinion. In order to develop this skill of gist listening, check the answers before reading the audio script. It may sound crazy, but it may not always be helpful to go through the text right after the task, as close analysis of the language of the texts will not help you to develop the most appropriate listening strategies. Just as in part 3, a sound knowledge of the type of words used to report attitudes and feelings in the questions will help you in this part. I will explain that in the following section. It's super important to remember that you must answer both tasks and that you will only hear the series of monologues twice. You can choose how you approach the tasks, however, perhaps attempting one task on each listening or perhaps approaching both tasks simultaneously, answering the most accessible questions on the first listening and the more challenging questions when the recording is repeated. I normally recommend doing the first listening to get the easy questions and discard the options you didn't hear anything about, and then the second listening to fine-tune your answers. Research has shown that different candidates approach this task in different ways, with equal success, so I must avoid imposing one particular strategy on you. Do as many tasks as possible. Check the answers immediately after finishing, and then analyze with the audio script what went wrong, in case your results weren't too promising. Now let me go over the different skills you need to develop for this part. And quite honestly, I can only think of two that stand out. I'd like to start by speaking about listening for gist and say why it's so important. Listening for gist involves listening in order to understand general meaning rather than all the specific details and information mentioned. It'll help you see the big picture. It will also help you know when you have to listen more closely and carefully in order to hear a particular piece of information. When you listen for gist, focus on key words and phrases and tone of voice. Try to ignore and not worry about unknown words and phrases. In a situation where you listen to the same recording twice, such as an exam listening task, it's often helpful to listen for gist the first time to get a general idea of the meaning and then listen for more detail the second time. A second skill you will need to develop is understanding the context in which the listening task occurs. Understanding context when you're listening means being able to understand the general situation. This may be in terms of where the speakers are, what has just happened, what is being discussed or planned, what the speakers' roles and relationships are, and so on. To understand context, you need to listen for explicit or implicit information that will help you to identify where the interaction is taking place, who is speaking, and any other relevant information. Ultimately, I can also talk to you about developing listening strategies. This is not a specific listening skill, but a more general approach to any listening task. Developing listening strategies involves understanding, bringing together, and practicing all of the listening skills you have worked on. Look at an exam listening task and determine the most appropriate strategies and skills to handle the task successfully. You develop listening strategies by thinking about the task before you and exploring the most suitable ways to approach it. In conclusion, developing listening strategies is relevant to all parts of advanced listening. Stay tuned because in the next segment, you'll hear the listening task.
You'll hear five short extracts in which students are talking about their experiences with following social media influencers. Look at task 1. For questions 1 to 5, choose from the list. A2H, how each speaker feels about the content posted by the influencers they follow. Now look at task 2. For questions 6 to 10, choose from the list. A2H, what each speaker appreciates about following social media influencers. While you listen, you must complete both tasks. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part 4. Speaker 1.
Following influencers on social media has been quite an experience for me. I love how some of them are so creative with their content, and I never get bored watching their videos. But sometimes, I feel like there's just too much content to keep up with. It can be a bit overwhelming. On the bright side, I've discovered some really cool products and services through their recommendations. So I guess that's a plus.
Speaker 2.
I've been following a few influencers for a while now, and I've noticed that their content is becoming less authentic. It seems like they're just promoting products or brands instead of sharing genuine experiences. This can be annoying at times, but I still appreciate the sense of connection I feel when I watch their stories or read their posts.
Speaker 3.
I've learned so much about different cultures by following influencers from all around the world. It's fascinating to see how people live and what their traditions are like. However, I can't help but worry about the impact this constant exposure to perfect lives has on my mental health. I try to remind myself that social media isn't always an accurate representation of reality.
Speaker 4.
Some of the influencers I follow are really inspiring. They share tips on personal development, and I found their advice quite helpful in my own life. I do feel, though, that some of them rely too much on humor, and it can be a bit distracting from their message. Still, I found new hobbies and interests through their content, and I'm really grateful for that.
Speaker 5.
I've been following a couple of influencers who focus on current events and social issues. Their content is both educational and engaging, which I appreciate. However, I sometimes question the authenticity of their posts and wonder if they're just trying to gain more followers. Despite this, I enjoy being part of an online community that's passionate about making a positive change in the world.
Now you'll hear part 4 again. Speaker 1.
Following influencers on social media has been quite an experience for me. I love how some of them are so creative with their content, and I never get bored watching their videos. But sometimes, I feel like there's just too much content to keep up with. It can be a bit overwhelming. On the bright side, I've discovered some really cool products and services through their recommendations. So I guess that's a plus.
Speaker 2.
I've been following a few influencers for a while now, and I've noticed that their content is becoming less authentic. It seems like they're just promoting products or brands instead of sharing genuine experiences. This can be annoying at times, but I still appreciate the sense of connection I feel when I watch their stories or read their posts.
Speaker 3.
I've learned so much about different cultures by following influencers from all around the world. It's fascinating to see how people live and what their traditions are like. However, I can't help but worry about the impact this constant exposure to perfect lives has on my mental health. I try to remind myself that social media isn't always an accurate representation of reality.
Speaker 4.
Some of the influencers I follow are really inspiring. They share tips on personal development, and I found their advice quite helpful in my own life. I do feel, though, that some of them rely too much on humor, and it can be a bit distracting from their message. Still, I found new hobbies and interests through their content, and I'm really grateful for that.
Speaker 5.
I've been following a couple of influencers who focus on current events and social issues. Their content is both educational and engaging, which I appreciate. However, I sometimes question the authenticity of their posts and wonder if they're just trying to gain more followers. Despite this, I enjoy being part of an online community that's passionate about making a positive change in the world.
That is the end of part 4.
I hope you found the task manageable. As I mentioned at the beginning of today's episode, I got ChatGPT to write a rough draft that I polished, changed a few things here and there, and adapted to make it more exam-like. Then I added the instructions and took the produced text to 11 Labs. If you haven't heard of them, 11 Labs is an American startup and technology company founded by former Google engineer Piotr Dabkowski and former Palantir strategist Mati Staniszewski. The company specializes in natural-sounding speech synthesis and text-to-speech software using artificial intelligence and deep learning, The five speakers you heard were artificially created. Sometimes I wonder whether this whole business of exam design will be overtaken by artificial intelligence. I'm actually starting to think whether my job is on the line, but anyway, that might be a topic for another episode. But let's get down to business. Let's analyze the answers and explanations for each question, as well as comment on how to approach and prepare for each question. Let's start with speaker one. Question one tests your ability to identify the main feelings of the speaker. The correct answer is B, as speaker one feels dazed by the content, stating that there's too much content to keep up with. Dazed is a synonym of overwhelmed, which is the word used in the listening. Although they are impressed by the creativity, this isn't their main feeling about the content. So if you chose option A, read again, because dubious is actually contrary to feeling impressed. To approach this question and the rest of the questions in task one for that matter, listen carefully to the speaker and pay attention to any emotional language they use. This will help you understand their main feelings. Now, for question six, it tests your ability to identify what the speaker appreciates about following influencers. The correct answer is A, as speaker one appreciates discovering some really cool products and services through the influencers they follow. Learning more about novel ideas or solutions is just that, precisely. In this case, there are no distractions, so it boils down to knowing vocabulary. For speaker two, you must follow the same logic. In the case of question two, you'll need to identify the speaker's main annoyance. The correct answer is H, as speaker two is irritated by the commercial focus and feels that influencers are just promoting products or brands instead of sharing genuine experiences. Although they mention their lack of authenticity, they don't actually show skepticism. Obviously, the annoyance with promotional content is more prominent. For question seven, you need to identify what the speaker appreciates about following influencers. The correct answer is H again, as speaker two appreciates the sense of connection they feel when watching influencers' stories or reading their posts. This is just a paraphrase of bonding with other people. To approach this question, listen for any expressions of gratitude or enjoyment, which will help you understand the speaker's main appreciation. Okay, speaker three. Question three tests your ability to identify the speaker's main concern. The correct answer is D, as speaker three worries about the impact of constant exposure to perfect lives on their mental health. In other words, your well-being. To approach this question, listen for any expressions of concern or worry, which will help you understand the speaker's main concern. For question eight, the correct answer is B, as speaker three has learned about different cultures by following influencers from all around the world. To prepare for this question, focus on the speaker's response to specific aspects of the content, such as cultural information, and try to determine which learning outcome is most prominent. In the case of speaker four, question four tests your ability to identify the speaker's main reaction to the humor in influencers' content. The correct answer is F, as speaker four feels entertained by the humor, but also finds it a bit distracting from their message. Also, the speaker appreciates the influencer's tips or advice on personal development. That combination of good and bad reactions by the speaker makes them ambivalent, meaning indecisive. For task two, question nine tests your ability to identify what the speaker is grateful for in following influencers. The correct answer is E, as speaker four has found new hobbies and interests through their content and is grateful for that. When you discover new passions, you definitely know what to do in your spare time. Although they mention getting advice on personal development, finding new hobbies and interests is the main appreciation. Also, the guidance is dedicated, meaning that the person received particular classes and that isn't mentioned in the listening. Now, the last speaker. Question five tests your ability to identify the speaker's main skepticism. The correct answer is E, as speaker five questions the authenticity or genuineness of influencers' posts, wondering if they're just trying to gain more followers. To approach this question, listen for any expressions of doubt or skepticism, which will help you understand the speaker's main aim. Question 10 tests your ability to identify what the speaker enjoys about being part of an online community. The correct answer is G, as speaker 5 enjoys being part of an online community that's passionate about making a positive change in the world. This can only be described as having a sense of belonging with others, Although the guys they mention staying updated on current events, being part of an online community is the main enjoyment. In summary, to approach and prepare for these types of listening tasks, focus on the speaker's tone, language, and expressions of emotions, concerns, or gratitude. Pay attention to specific aspects of the content they are reacting to, and always try to determine which response is most prominent or relevant to the question. Remember that vocabulary is essential here. Knowing how things are expressed in a more general way will definitely help you get the highest score possible. As we wrap up today's episode, I want to remind you of some key points and strategies we've discussed for part 4 of the listening exam. Remember, this part consists of 5 short monologues with 2 parallel multiple matching tasks. Your goal is to focus on understanding the gist of the speaker's messages, their attitudes, opinions, and main points. To recap a little, some tips to keep in mind while tackling this task include: first, concentrate on the theme of the texts and anticipate possible attitudes, ideas, or distractors related to the topic. As with all parts of the listening, predicting is an incredible skill that will boost your concentration. Making predictions is important for listening tasks in standardized testing because it allows test takers to anticipate the information they will hear and better understand the context of the listening passage. This, I assure you, will help you to answer questions more accurately and efficiently. When listening to a passage, skilled listeners are able to make predictions about what they will hear based on their knowledge of the topic, the language used, and other contextual clues. By making predictions, listeners can focus their attention on the most important information and mentally prepare themselves to process the incoming information. This can also help listeners to identify important details and understand the relationships between ideas. In standardized listening tests, this doesn't apply to Cambridge exams only, making accurate predictions can be especially helpful because the time available to process and understand the information is limited. You can definitely make the most of the time you have and improve your overall performance on the test. A second takeaway from today's episode is that you should focus on the gist and the context by paying attention to keywords, phrases, and the tone of voice. Also, develop your own listening strategies by identifying the most appropriate skills and approaches for each task. Do what feels right for you or how you process information. Of course, I can give you tips and whatnot on how to best approach this task, but you're free to build upon that and come up with your own strategy, one that makes you feel comfortable. Last but not least, practice as much as possible, analyze your answers, and learn from any mistakes. I always tell my students that this is where the learning happens. You won't get the same task in a real exam situation, but you will surely use the same logic in any given part of the exam. Remember, the key to success in part 4 of the listening exam lies in consistent practice and the development of strong listening skills. With time and effort, you'll become more confident in your abilities and better prepared to face the challenges of this demanding task. Well, I guess that does it, doesn't it? Thank you ever so much for joining me for another week. I love you all. Bye-bye.